to be in your presence. Spirit of God, do the work that is so necessary in helping us. God, thank you very much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for your mercy. For all our needs, God. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, in chapter 5, going, if I may, directly to verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now we were there last time, but I'm going to take a moment and try to help in a very basic truth that this is all talking about. And you can read this and miss the whole point now, because you'd say, what does this have to do? What he could do looking to the Father in his will, his emotions, his intellect, all of it looking to God. And say, what's that got? How can we do that? Over, if you would please, now to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Gospel of John and chapter 8. Now, you know, if you, from your existence on planet Earth, that all religions out here have what they have, from Buddha to Confucius to Shinto to Muslim, Judaism, all over. You line them all up, lots of them. And then there's all kinds of variations within them. Now, in the process of evaluating all of them, I want you just to take a moment, think about it later, but take a moment and consider, in all of the religious activity approaching God, where do we come in contact with the God and his person? Where do we do that? When do we do that? All our religion, all of it's going, all over the place. When do we come in contact with God? Where do we come in contact with God in a personal way? I don't know where you're going to find it. And yet people are religious up to their eyeballs sometime. Now, in the process of all of that, in the process of having all of these, we all, people, religion, etc., seek to worship the God as they understand and as they want to understand him. And they do so. Now, in the process of all of that, when do we come to grips with God personally and God come to grips with us personally? When does that happen? So now, having said that, and we believers, those that have been come to know the Lord as their Savior, ought to be believing the unbelievable. They believe the unbelievable. The world doesn't believe it's possible. And Judaism, as you know, the leaders, one of the reasons they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah was because they didn't believe God could become a man like us, because they knew human frailty and fault. And there's no way the Almighty, only God could ever be like us. Now, so in the process, the world doesn't believe, but believers believe. So that believers believing, the world is out there unbelieving. And as the believers believe, then they are giving making an exercise for the unbelievers to believe that which is really, really, truly believable, not unbelievable. Now, having said that, over to John chapter 8, where you're at. Now, what are we looking for? We're looking for that which is true in a day when there is no true anything. Truth. And in the light of that, and I would remind you that if you lived in the days of Noah, there was no religion and no politic, just God and people. And they were very, very conscious of God to the point where they rejected that consciousness of God and his personal presence. Noah walked with God, they did not. Now, remember, no religion whatsoever. Now we come along into thereafter, and we have the world and all of its religions and politic. And then we have God raising up the nation of Israel. God introduced himself at Mount Sinai to Israel. And Israel was to be in the presence of God by way of the tabernacle, by way later of the temple. The tabernacle especially 40 years in the wilderness, 38. In the wilderness, they had a fire by night and a cloud by day. And it moved. And it provided everything and from food to water to health to clothing. It lacked nothing. They lacked nothing. Wow. But you know, that personal presence of God was rejected by them personally, generally speaking. And they didn't exercise the presence of God. The Jewish people ended up going into Assyrian and Babylonian captivity. And the temple went down. No cloud by day, no fire by night, God. So here's all the religions, and here's all of it taking place. God did something, and here's, there, now God's really God. But the whole dumb system doesn't realize God, because they made religion to take the place of rightness. Error to take the place of truth. So we've got a whole world, we've been living in it. You turn the pages of the history book, and we go to the Protestant church and the Catholic church and the Muslim, and you go to all of them and go all over. We don't have a personal God. Very hard. I'd like to show you what is missing. You know it, but I want to take it very simply, because it is the issue. And Protestants, we're all sitting here, we worship people, not here, but people go. They sing hymns and read the Bible, and but no God. No God. God, what on earth is it all about, to remind us? John 5:19 said, I do nothing of myself. What are you trying to help us with as we turn the pages of the Gospel of John? Over to John chapter 8 now, if I can, in verse 40. John chapter 8 and verse 40. The Lord Jesus Christ dealing with the Jewish leaders, etc. Now you seek, 8:40. Now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. The word truth, reality. Reality. A man who hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. All that the Father says, I do. I reflect. I represent. Skipping down to verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. You don't have an ear to hear. Verse 44. Why don't you want to hear? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. For he was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, no truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So you're going to follow a religious approach that leaves God out and becomes that which is unreal. It isn't true. And the devil doesn't want you to consider God. Hang on. It'll come. Don't consider God rightly. Wrongly? Yes. Rightly? No. Verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? For if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Why don't you believe me that I'm telling you the truth? I'm trying to tell you what it's about. You guys are caught up in your Judaism and religion, and you can't learn. You're caught up in religion and not rightness. Now, hang on to that. Over if you were to Romans. Romans in chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, picking up in thought. And looking at the basis, God said, it is very reasonable to believe who I am. It is quite rational and reasonable that you honor me. It is not unreasonable. It is the right thing to do, to honor me. But no one does it. We dishonor you. That's right. Now, the devil and religion, because that's what bay back with Adam and Eve, you know, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. And Cain went, you know. Cain went. Religious man. Religious, absolutely. And in the name of religion, he went to worship God in his own way. He was going to honor God religiously. And he wanted God to accept his religious approach to who he was. And Cain and God refused it. And Cain turned around and slew his brother Abel for honoring God. He slew him. And then, of course, you know, later on in history, the Jews, in the name of religion and rightness, crucified the greatest murder of all, the creature tried to kill the Creator. Wow. Now, here in Romans, the effect, you know it, but just read it and put it together. Romans chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 19. Because that may be known of God, that which may be known of God, is manifest, made public, clear, plain, where? In them. Why? For God. Why? Why is it in them? For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things, God is the invisible infinite person of who he is. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, his deity, so that they are without excuse. God, the invisible God, makes it very clear by the things that are made that he is the creator of all of creation. Over, if I may, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their thought process, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25 now, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, what did they do? The devil fed out a lie that your personal relationship to God isn't that personal, and God really doesn't care, and you really don't need God at all. The Lord Jesus said, without him, I can do nothing. I can do nothing. And without me, you can do nothing. Wow. So now, in the light of that, remember now, the wrongly hold, if you're still in Romans 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who are holding the truth, having and holding the truth in an unrighteous way. They got the Bible, but they don't believe it. They aren't allowing God to be God. They got their religions up to here, and they're all over the place, but they aren't recognizing God's wonderful person and presence. They are denying it, excusing themselves from it. Now, and without turning there, you know, if you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, they are perishing because they receive not the love of the truth. They do not love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:12. That they all might be damned or judged, condemned, who believe not the truth. They don't love the truth. They don't believe the truth at all. They don't want the truth. They don't want to, they love darkness rather than light. They don't want the truth. So now, in the light of that, you would know, and you may want to look at it for the sake of remembering it, back over to Genesis. Genesis in chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, you would recall, in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So we said, and remember now what here you are there. And God, you were created by God for God. That's the purpose. So you want to know that, answering the question, who am I, why am I here, where am I going, etc. Those are key questions. But like in 6 o'clock, you'd have to answer. And the computer won't answer them for you. No answer. And they are essential to know where I am. How can I get to where I'm going if I don't know where I am? I got to know where I am. Now, so in the process, the word image, let us make man in our image, according to a conforming to our likeness. The word image has to do, remember, with shadowing forth. A representation, resembling an object, resembling it, the reality of an object, which is before, the principle, the resemblance. I am, I ought, morally, I will. Resembling, God made us in his image. And after, comparatively, as a model, his likeness, it's an explanatory word. It means image, and then he adds likeness to add to it, a representation, a likeness, to be in the place, in a relationship to something else, to put together with something, hence to make like, to put something together to make for a comparison. In image and likeness, God, what did you do? You've gone and made man, humans, in the image and likeness. Now, and you know from just our past and your own study, here is a little mirror. Little mirror. I didn't get a big mirror. I got a little mirror. And the word the Lord Jesus Christ in Colossians is the derived image. The origin, God, looks at the object in the mirror and sees whom God sees himself. Now, simple. What do you use a mirror for? Besides singling, what do you use a mirror for? To see what? Yourself. God made us like the mirror, so that when God sees us, he sees himself. That's the purpose. Sin came along and louses that all up. But that's the purpose. So why am I here? Why am I like this? Why aren't I like a cockroach? Why aren't I like a kangaroo? Why aren't I a bird? God didn't make us like that. He made us specifically. So when God looked, he would see himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect man. Perfectly. God looks at the Lord Jesus Christ and God sees his own self. Now, that's what it got. You forget that part. That's very personal. Very personal. And in the process, sin resulted in the loss of that personal relationship. And God has a wonderful plan and design to be like him. Over in your right here, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis in chapter 3. And you will note the lie, L-I-E, the devil is a liar, to keep you from the truth. Truth is the word reality, the real, that which is real, true, genuine. The devil lied. He's a liar from the beginning. He'll never tell you the truth. The world system will never tell you the truth. So in chapter 3 and verse 5, a point, God, what are you telling Adam and Eve? For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. Remember, there are no gods yet, so Elohim, God. Knowing good and evil. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Where did evil come from? That's when the angels sin. There is no evil till the angels sin. Where does evil come from? From the evil one. The devil said, you'll be able to know good and evil. You'll be able to know me. Where I'm coming from, said the devil, instead of where God's coming from. You'll know both. You'll know me and know God, but from the wrong side. Instead of knowing God in the right way and evil in the wrong way, you're going to know it from the wrong side. Now, having said that, the devil said that. That's his thing. You can be like me. What happened to you? You left over Isaiah 14. Do you see the word like, by the way, Genesis 1:26, the likeness in his image and likeness? We're going to slide over now to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. And in Isaiah chapter 14, may I go, I'll get a little bit of the context. Verse 12, Lucifer, son of the morning. Oh, how art thou fallen from heaven, not earth, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? Thou didst weaken the nations. That's what he does. He's the god of this world. Verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, what did he say? Remember Ezekiel 28, same thing. Sin is in the heart. He thought it. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne, said the devil. He didn't have a throne like that. Above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I'm going to enjoy the privileged position that God has, God the Son. They worship all creation, including me. I reflect the glory of God. This glory that I have, said Lucifer, son of the morning, is mine. Why shouldn't people worship me? Why should they worship God? Because it is God that makes Lucifer, son of the morning, so marvelous. But take God out of life, take God out of his heart, out of his relationship, and there is no. It's darkness, deadness, nothing. And so Lucifer, son of the morning, said, since I can't retrieve, I'm already condemned already, therefore I'm going to get the rest of the system that God creates to fall in line with where I am. Now, chapter 14, verse 14. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like. Do you see the word L-I-K-E? That is the same word that is in Genesis 1:26. We are made for his likeness. Now, why would you do that, God? What was the devil after? To be like him. To be like him. What are you going to do with us humans who are less than angels? I'm going to make you like me in my image and likeness. So when I look at you, when I look at you, I'll see myself. When I look at you, I'll see myself. When I looked at the anointed cherub, the Lucifer, son of the morning, I saw myself. But when Lucifer, son of the morning, decided to take all the glory, then he sinned. And I was not there. When I looked at Lucifer, I saw darkness. All I saw was himself. I didn't see him. The Lord Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. My whole function is to help you understand what a human is. A human has a unique, personal, wonderful, awesome privilege of relating to God in a most super-duper way. And the stupid religious systems rob us. And we have a godless system in religion out here. We got people, I go to church, I'm a bishop, I'm a pastor, I'm a priest, whatever you are. Where's God? Where's God? What's that got to do with it? What's that got to do with anything? Now, in the light of that, over if you would please, in the light of Lucifer, son of the morning, and the whole point is to make the only, and God makes the us in his image and likeness. That's what the devil wanted to be, like God does something with just all dust of the ground. And he said, I'm going to make the dust of the ground reflect me in a most marvelous way. And I want you to know, the only explanation for humans to understand who are they, why are they here, where are they going, why are they like that, like they are, the only explanation is God. The only way you can explain a human is God. God made us to reflect him. That's the purpose. Do you understand that? Not to be a Protestant or a Catholic or Islamic or anything else. God, and it isn't to go to heaven. Go to heaven's wonderful. That's just a byproduct. All of that is nothing. The whole point is that God did what he needed to put himself back in your life so that he would see himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ died to make that possible. And all of the rest of it is just plain old religion. Reading, hearing, coming and going, preaching. Religion. Religion. We're going to study the Bible. If you don't get to God in it, what good did it do you? What good's having a bunch of recipes and remedies that are only in the book. I have PDR books and all that stuff, you know, red book and all of that. And oh, I got big books and little books. And in the process, they have all the chemical formulas for pharmaceutical stuff. Now, when you do all that and look at all of those things, I can have that. I don't understand most of it because they didn't write it in English. And in the process, there it is. But what good is that if all I have are those pages and I can open up and read them if I don't have the benefit of the reality, the truth that they point to? God's word points to himself. Apart from that, you're reading, and you missed out what you were reading for. You are reading to remind yourself of a wonderful God in whose presence you are, like it or not. Now, so in the light of that, and God giving you and reminding you of that he is the uncaused cause, he is the exclusive cause. He is the exclusive cause for everything that he wants to energize in effect. There is nothing anywhere that God isn't the cause. And who gets the glory of the lily, as we shared in 6 o'clock? Who gets the glory of the bug, the bird, the bee? God does. And so the only explanation, the only way a person, as we shared, can be explained is by God. And God gets all the credit. I don't get credit. God does. I didn't make myself. You didn't make yourself. Who gets the glory? Work, home, school, play? No. God gets the glory. God made us. Made us to see himself. To represent him, to find himself. And therefore, God, you're going to go. God tries to correct and will correct ultimately our ignorance of him, our indifference to him, our rebellion against the truth. We don't want to know truth. We love darkness rather than light. We don't want to know that. And so, God, what did you do? I sent my son. I sent my son, who is God the Son, in the wonderful, perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. I sent him. For what reason? So that you would have a first hand. You want to be able to touch God, smell God, handle God, walk with God, eat with God. Here he is. If you have seen me, he said, you have seen him. If they see you, you shake hands with my God. With my God. And I want to shake hands with your God. With your God. Wow. Whole another world. Totally absent. Conferences and everything. Wow. So God, here we are. And we're trying to go and understand that you are absolutely indispensable. You are indispensable for us, because if you are missing, then we are, animals are better off with their instinct than humans are. Because humans without God are not normal. They're abnormal. They're below normal. They're meant for God. Not canaries and chickadees. They aren't meant for God. They're in built instinct. You can count on them. But not humans. Humans without God are out of place, out of joint, as it were. Over, if you would, please, in your Bible, over, if you would, to 1 Peter, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1. May I pick up, please, just very quickly in God I have to read it a little bit for context. God who at sundry times, 1:1. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the outraying, the expressed image, the brightness of his glory, the expressed image, and exacting in the engraving tool, the engraving stamp that reproduces the image, who being the brightness outraying of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. God, that's you. God, you sent your Son. You read it when we did John 1:14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became incarnate. You say God can't. No, God did. Why could God do that? Because we're made in the image and likeness of God. We'll pick it up tonight. The benefit of that. How it happened. Wow. What it means to us. Over to John, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, may I pick up the thought in verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. It doesn't mean the babes are stupid. It just says that babies understand 2 + 2 = 4, 5 + 5 = 10, and there's a lot more. The wise and prudent say 2 + 2 = 4, and there is no more. There's nothing else. It's just what we see, feel, touch, taste, smell. That's all there is. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. It doesn't mean you're stupid babes. It just means you understand. There's an infinity, and that isn't even our English word, trying to explain God's infiniteness. Limited at the very best. Wow. God, there's so much more. Isn't that? Wow. Thus, verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. God, you mean to tell me that I can understand your invisible infiniteness, which I could never possibly grasp or see? But I want you to know what I've done. I've made you in my image and likeness. And so when you see my Son, my Son's looking at me. And when you look at Christ, you'll see the Father. Look at Christ, the Son, and you'll see the Father. Look at the believer, and you'll see the Son. Being a sons, you'll see the Father. You'll see my Father. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty neat, you know. You can have religion up to here. Thumbs down. Waste of time. No, sir. No, the truth will set me free. I want to have that, God. And thus, the Son will reveal him. Wonderfully so. Over, if you would please, to John. God, what have you done for us that is so necessary? John chapter 14. John 14, John chapter 14. God in John chapter 14, verse 16, I will pray the Father up in the upper room before his crucifixion. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another of the same kind, comforter, purpose, that he may abide with you forever. And, by the way, this comforter is the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive. Don't believe. They don't want to believe. No. So they don't have the truth. They're left in darkness. And like we read in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, who loves darkness, not light. Wow. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Sliding over, if I may, over to chapter 16. Howbeit, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatso he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Spirit of God, aren't you the truth? Sure he is. But he's trying to help us what? Understand the sequence. God the Father sent the Son. The Son is to reveal the Father. How's the Son reveal the Father? By the Spirit of God who reveals the Son. And that's the point. For God, this Holy Spirit, give you the truth. Not about himself, about the Son. So what? You would know about the Father. That's what it's all about. God, that we'd be able to have such a unique personal relationship to you. It's unbelievable. And it is. Think of it. You know it. We've said it 1,000 times. If you go out there, wherever you work, home, school, whatever you do, and say, listen, I want you to know that I know God is my Savior. They might get away with that. I want you to know that I am in God. I'm in the middle of God. And then to make such an outlandish statement that God is in me. Now tell me how excited your neighbors are. Other church people are, let alone neighbors. Other church people, tell me how excited they are. Wow. The Lord Jesus said, listen, I have come that you might have life, that you might have it abundantly. And the life I give you is my own. There is no other kind of life except mine. You all have existence, but you don't have life. And I've come to see that you have life, a unique, wonderful, personal relationship to God in a very most personal way. And if that's why they wanted to do what to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was so personal. They wanted to what? Crucify him. We can't stand to have that bright light. Men love what? Darkness. I don't mind the Bible. Just don't tell me the truth. Read the Bible up to here. Memorize it. Long as you don't believe it. As long as it isn't real, and you don't take any of those recipes or any of those prescriptions and just be a wonderful religious something, Protestant, Catholic, Muslim, Buddhist, but no God. Wow. I'm just trying to bug you in. make you think. Because we're so caught in Protestantism, Christendom, and that kills Christ in us. Because we've got a thing we fixed, and we're compared to the Catholic, the cultist, and the communist. And we're out there. That isn't what it's about. It's about doing a wonderful thing that God does and takes you here and fulfills his wonderful purpose. Unreason, no question. You can challenge that up to you as far as you want. You'll never win. God wins. God wins. Because when you're all done trying to prove and atheism, agnosticism, anything else, you cannot have any God. And you'll never have a God with all the beliefs and all the world and all the religion and all the books. You have a godless. There is no God. And the little kid that bends his knee before God. God is right there. And the little heart knows it. And that little heart is hugely ahead of the greatest theologians in all the world. Without God. I gotta tell you. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and mercy. And God, here we are. God, what are we? God, trying to recover, trying to make fresh, trying to let possess us the truth. You are the God of truth. And the God that you are, you've given us the truth about who you are, so that we are able to communicate the truth, to tell the truth about you, to tell the truth about ourselves. That we were created for you to enjoy being who you are in our little life. And that some remarkable, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way that we could enjoy you in our heart. God, Spirit of God, help us. Deal with the heart of the people of the world. And may many, many be stirred and stimulated in these days as we come to the end. And we'll thank you very, very much in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for that, for your patience. Perhaps we could sing, please.